So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to Trending. I'm Sheila Lagminas, filling in for Timory today and eager to cover some very important topics for girls, young women, college students, both men and women, parents concerned about what their children may learn in schools at younger ages, and what they may hear or be taught in college, and what influences they may encounter once they've left home for college, especially people and ideas that challenge their faith and potentially cause them to doubt or leave it. Your calls are welcome for my guests on these issues. The number here is 888-914-9149. With so much to cover, let's get going. My first guest is Mary Louise Hengesbaugh, co-founder of the Chastity Education Initiative, which former Cardinal Archbishop, Chicago Archbishop, Cardinal Francis George asked Mary Louise to lead after he decided we needed to teach our youth what it means to live chaste lives. Well, we still do. We always have. She, Mary Louise, heads the Girls Health First Initiative of concerned women and girls with diverse viewpoints that receives support from the Illinois Citizens for Ethics, PAC, Political Action Committee, among many other things. That's what Mary Louise does. Chastity Education Initiative, Girls Health First. She's very, very busy. Mary Louise, thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure, Sheila. Good to talk with you.
It's great to talk with you again. This is so important. Mary Louise, you're so busy. I see a lot of the things Girls Health First is doing in my inbox. When you're holding events, you're raising awareness, you're putting yard signs out. What are the yard signs about in the state of Illinois? I know this is going on elsewhere in our country. That's why listeners coast to coast need to hear about this, because it's happening near them as well.
It is. You know, it seems insane, but many state legislatures now are seeking to repeal parental involvement laws in abortion. So in Illinois, we have a law that isn't even as strong as many other states, such as Indiana or Wisconsin. But our law states that somebody, if a minor girl is being brought for an abortion, her parent needs to be notified. It's not consent. It's just the parent needs to be notified 24 hours before the abortion occurs. And it sounds crazy, Sheila, but some legislators want to repeal that law, which is an essential safeguard for girls.
So why do they, Mary Louise? Where's the pressure coming from for them to some state lawmakers to repeal that law? Because as you point out at Girls Health First, these House bills and state bills, Senate bills in the state of Illinois, and I'm sure all over the country and other states, you say empower sexual predators against young girls.
That's right. So studies indicate that a large percent of teen pregnancies are fathered by men older than 20. And in fact, the average age of a trafficked girl in the United States is 12 to 14 years old. It is hard to believe that this is happening in our country. It is heartbreaking. And the way that many of these predators conceal evidence of their crimes is by using abortion. So states that don't have a common sense parental involvement law, whether it's parental notice or parental consent, really put girls at risk. And what we're seeing is a lot of sex trafficking groups, anti-trafficking groups in Illinois now speaking out and saying this law is an essential safeguard for girls, because without this law, you know, any predator can bring a young girl into an abortion facility and have her get an abortion without her parent being notified. So, in fact, I don't know if you saw Dr. Brooke Bellows' testimony, but she received a Lifetime Achievement Award from President Barack Obama. She's a woman of color, and she is active in a ministry that helps survivors of human trafficking. She herself was trafficked as a young girl, and she says in her powerful video, she says, if my mom had been, if there was parental notification in the state that I was in, my mother would have been able to find me. So, you know, that could have prevented years of heartache for her. So it's really important for this law to stand in Illinois and for other states. You know, most states in the United States have parental involvement laws, but there are, I think, 12 states that do not.
Well, so to talk about the importance of that, you just did in a way, but delve in a little bit deeper. How does trafficking happen? I've had a sex trafficking expert on my program before, Mary Louise, and she's really internationally renowned, and she's talked about ways, you know, girls and women are trafficked, right? And we think that's kind of like way out there somewhere else, but it's really in suburban neighborhoods and towns, she said, just near you. She said it might be around the corner from your house and then you're a shopping center at, say, nail salons for young women, girls, maybe at their schools. Talk about how this is happening without, you know, we don't want to alarm people, but we certainly want to educate them, inform them, and equip them.
Yes. Well, Renee Paulino from My Half of the Sky, which is it's a social justice coffee shop that's in Wheaton, Illinois. She spoke at one of our Girls Health First forums, and she said that, and she is an expert in this area because her coffee shop actually employs survivors of trafficking, and she has, you know, she works with ministries that help trafficking survivors. And what she said is that it's really grooming that, you know, oftentimes these guys reach out to young girls on the internet, you know, oftentimes like after school when a parent might not be around, and they sort of pose as being somebody younger, and then when the girls meet them, they're actually a bit older, but they make the girls feel special. They give them little gifts and things like that. And, you know, before you know it, they are kind of involved in being trafficked, and they sort of feel like the guy is their boyfriend. And so it's really, and it's a very sad thing, especially girls without involved dads are particularly at risk because, you know, they feel special. This older man, you know, loves their attention. They may not even really realize they are being abused. And it even one of our Girls Health First girls who is in college shared with a legislator when we were meeting with her about this this bill and how terrible it would be if the bill passed and parental notice was repealed. She even shared about a friend from college where this actually happened. And you know, she ended up, it's very tragic because her friend kind of was induced or duped into marrying this man who is basically trafficking her, which is really, tragic. So this is happening to girls around the country, and it's happening in every county in Illinois. So it's happening, you know, in your community. So that's why it's so important to know, you know, what your kids are doing after school and who they're with and things like that.
So is that where you start? I mean, know who your children, your girls, and boys too are interacting with. Know where they are at all times. If they say, I'll be home at whatever time, I'm going out with some friends after school, going to stop by, I don't know, maybe a local cafe or something, wherever they go. But know who they are. Know who's in that group. Know what they're doing always. And Mary Louise, is that hard? Because the girls or young guys put off the parents as being intrusive, and they don't want to be that, but they don't want to be hovering. But at the same time, they want to keep them protected. And then you might get the eye roll, like, you know who my friends are. In other words, how do you get around all that and really help parents to know this is a very serious threat to your own daughter?
Right. Well, and that's the thing too. And many of the girls, they sort of feel both ashamed and they sort of want to protect their abuser. In fact, Paulino talked about Stockholm syndrome, that women who've been trafficked sometimes then they feel guilty even though they are being abused, even physically abused as well as sexually by, you know, the traffickers. They still sort of want to protect them, or, you know, they feel an allegiance to them. It's sort of, you know, that the abused victim feeling like they themselves have done something wrong, or, you know, so you know, there can be sort of a secretiveness, a protectiveness. And so I think, you know, I think it's just really important, especially in families where, like, both parents are working and working maybe around the clock, you know, like if there's a single parent with multiple jobs, trying to find, like, another involved adult, whether it be a grandparent or whatever, to still be around in that evening, in those evening hours for that teenager, I think is really important because, you know, we feel like these teens are self-sufficient. You know, they can come home after mm-hmm. school and let themselves in and make themselves, you know, dinner or whatever, but they still need that love and care. They are not adults yet, and there are other people who are eager to intrude into their lives and use them.
And it's just so much easier for, unfortunately, sexual predators these days when there's so much access to young people. They're out in malls. They're found in clusters together in, I don't know, parks, wherever young people hang out. The things they're just out there, out and about, and especially now that people are more out and about than when we were all more shut in and locked down and not able to be in public places. They are now, and especially this summer. So they're out there, of course, in clusters, seeing their friends again, doing things with their friends again. And for those of you who just tuned in, I'm Sheila Logminas filling in for Timory today on Trending with two very important guests with important information for you about chastity education, about modesty, about and who even hears about chastity anymore? That's just rendered so old-fashioned, just so outdated. While sexual trafficking is going on with children, girls and boys, of very young ages. And then later on, I'm going to be talking about college students before your young people go off to college for the first time. It's exciting what's happening in some places to get them prepared to keep their Catholic faith on campus, to not give it up, to not persuaded by people who are out there challenging the Catholic ideas and the Catholic faith. There's that too. And you certainly want that bulwark against what's going on in the culture. What's going on in the culture is also porn being looked at by very young school kids. I know boys on school buses have accessed that. Another friend told me that. My friend Mary Louise Hengesbaugh, co-founder of the Chastity Education Initiative, is in right now, which again, Chicago Archbishop Cardinal Francis George, former, asked Mary Louise to lead this initiative when he decided we need to teach our youth what it means to live chaste lives. She heads Girls Health First Initiative of concerned women and girls with diverse viewpoints. However, what they agree on is that they really need to inform and equip girls and their parents how to recognize dangers and steer clear of those. Well, in our state of Illinois and in many of your states, you're facing legislation at the state level that would repeal protections put in place, such as parental notification. And parental notice in all sorts of ways really helps safeguard your children. Mary Louise, what I was just talking about, modesty, chastity education initiative. See, that's another thing. The hypersexualization of our culture these days is hitting both girls and boys. And girls are dressing in ways that are immodest. They may not want the attention that brings, but talk about that too, because this all goes together. How girls are out there, maybe with their friends in groups, and suddenly here they are at young ages, sexualized in ways they don't even realize themselves, might not understand. I'm not sure how they got out of the house dressed that way, but as you pointed out, very often it's a fatherless home for one thing. But talk about the importance of modesty and chastity in dress and in actions.
Absolutely. You know, and you had asked, what can we do to protect girls from predators? And actually, this chastity education is really key because it helps girls to immediately identify what is love and what is lust. And I think that is so crucial for our girls nowadays, you know, that when a man is giving her attention that goes beyond the bounds of chastity, that is not love. And I think that is so important because many, you know, as young girls are seeking love, for them to be able to quickly identify, hey, you know, if a guy is doing that to me, he outside of marriage, that is not a loving act. So he is not showing love to me. And I think that's so important. So, and modesty kind of goes hand in hand with that as well, that we want to remember that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit and our body is a sacred space. And so therefore, you know, we keep, the most beautiful parts are veiled basically. And in order to preserve that secrecy and that gift for that one man who will someday love you, you know, unconditionally for a lifetime in marriage, if that is your vocation. So that's so important and such a great message for girls these days. And it really will help to protect them, because a parent cannot be with his or her daughter all the time. But Jason Everett has some great materials on chastity that I really highly recommend. And when I'm speaking to groups, I often recommend those. The Chastity Education Initiative at the Archdiocese of Chicago does great work on this. If you go to archchicago.org on the internet and look up the Office for Human Dignity and Solidarity, that is the office that has the Chastity Education Initiative in it at the Archdiocese, and they do great work and have lots of materials too. So, but yeah, I mean, and those are the types of things, like if there are parents listening right now, I recommend like pick up Jason Everett's Pure Love booklet or Pure Womanhood if you have daughters, and put those in the bathroom. And just leave them there. And your kids will probably read them while they're using the facilities at your house. And it's like an easy
You know, that's
way.
A good idea.
That's a great way
You know,
to
Mary Louise, instead of handing them the book, leave it there. That's perfect.
Exactly, right. Yeah, I mean, I do that with my kids now, not with those topics yet, because they're not to that age. But it's like, like the importance of brushing your teeth. This goes into the bathroom.
They'll see that.
Having, you know, seven-year-old boys not wanting to brush their teeth. You know how that is. But anyway, you know.
I do.
But it's a great idea, though, to do that. So that Pure Love booklet by Jason Everett is really a great one that's written in Q&A format. It's short. And it answers a lot of questions. So anybody, high schoolers or even older junior high students, it's appropriate for.
Yeah. Well, that's one. That's absolutely vital these days with all of the threats and challenges that are out there, not just challenges, actual threats. In fact, to that point, Mary Louise, we have a call from John in the Bay Area of California. I want to take that call now for you. John, go ahead. Great. Thanks for calling.
So I'm a grandfather, and I raised a granddaughter. Her mother, before her, committed suicide. She was into prostitution, and she was human trafficked all the way back into about the 80s. She was human trafficked, and I could not do anything about that. I raised my kids Catholic. I raised her Catholic. She committed suicide. I took and raised one of her daughters, and now she became trafficked. By some guy, and he married her in Las Vegas, took her away and married her there, and then turned her out into prostitution and all kinds of things. She was able to get away from that and put him away in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he ended up with her, and he's in prison now for it. Thank God for that. But he'll be getting out. So they don't keep him in there for very long. I'm in a position with her right now where she's not talking to me because I guess I didn't give her the love she needed to let her know how much I love her. But I told her, you know, it's about time I tell you, you're doing the wrong thing. You know, and I've told you over and over again, and it never worked. But she was a runaway. I raised her up to receive all of her sacraments in the church, and she knows what that's all about. She prays with me when I talk to her on the phone, but she won't talk to me right now because I got on her case again. And she's back out there doing the same thing she did before. And so I don't know what to do at this point. And, you know, I have a three-year-old grandson from that experience right now. And I am more concerned about him than I am her at this point. I'd like to get him away, and I'm going to be raising another generation.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, John. You know, I would recommend, I'm not an expert in helping survivors of trafficking, but the thing is that it creates a dependency, you know, that even though it's like you're being abused, you still sort of seek that. And only with really professional help could she be pulled out of that. There are organizations in the Chicago area, like Naomi's House, where girls who have been trafficked or women can go. And I would recommend seeking that in California. Or you said she's in California now, or Albuquerque? Where is she now? Is she
No, she's in Marysville, Yuba City, California.
Okay, so I'm sure that there are resources there, and I would look for trafficking survivors, like for ministries for trafficking survivors, because most of these ministries are run by evangelicals or Catholics, and these are really incredible women. Most of the ones I've encountered are run by evangelicals. These are incredible women who, and many of them themselves are survivors who have managed to kind of step out of that, because it's not an addiction, but it does pull the person back in. So I would recommend that, for getting her in touch with them, even if she doesn't want to talk to you. You know, this is a social group of women that she would benefit from. She's with other women who are doing this lifestyle right now, and she needs to get to see women who are on the other side of that. So that's what I would recommend. I'm sorry I don't know specific groups in California, but I can even look that up for you, you know, after the show, if you want to provide your email and stuff and try to connect you, because maybe she would seek out that resource, and it could be a new group of socializing for her, of women who have moved beyond that life, you know, and have put their lives back together.
Yeah. You know, John, if you can hold on, the call screener can pick up and get your information, so Mary Louise can help you by getting information to you. I know Mary Louise. We both know Kathleen Domingo out in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and she knows up and down California the different offices in Respect Life and Human Dignity, and even, you know, sexual trafficking or human trafficking that's going on, ways the different dioceses and archdioceses are helping, and the different ministries and missions and just the help that's available for people. So, John, give your information, please, to the call screener, and thank you for calling. I mean, Mary Louise, this just points out clearly, we know what's going on in Illinois with the state laws. You're fighting to keep parental notification as part of the law, so parents have the knowledge of what's happening to their daughters, and they're not being taken by predators to abortion clinics, or even, taken off to be trafficked. But, you know, why would state legislators even want to do away with that law? Why do they want to do away with that law?
Well, and the reason they want to do away with it, I believe, is because of the flow of money. So in Illinois, we have an incredibly well-funded political action committee, that basically advocates for the abortion industry. And since parental notice has been in effect in Illinois since 2013, abortions among minors have dropped dramatically. And so that's money out of their pocket. So this Personal PAC, which is the abortion industry's lobby in Illinois, they spend more than $1 million every year on our state legislative races. So they are very active, and they're buying people off, basically. So we have to, make the voice of the people known and help people to be vigilant. You know, we have to really hold these legislators' feet to the fire and raise awareness. So in October, this legislative session has not concluded yet. They will reconvene in Illinois for 6 days between October 19th and the 28th. And so in September, all the Girls Health First yard signs should come out again, and we need to start having people call their state legislators again, their state representatives and their state senators, to urge them to vote no on the repeal of parental notice, because it's really important to keep this law for the safety of our girls.
And that's in this state, but that's one of 50, and we have a whole patchwork quilt of an array of state laws out there of varying sorts. I mean, New York State had a radical abortion law before the governor of Illinois, by the same name of that, they call it, Healthcare Reproduction Act or something, and it's all about abortion.
Right.
Yeah, so, many states, that's it. And it's no health and no reproduction, because it's all about making Illinois an abortion mecca. So that's what's going on out there. And wherever you are, you've got to be in touch. Thank you, Mary Louise.
Thank you, Sheila. I appreciate it. And our website is girlshealthfirst.com.
girlshealthfirst.com. So much there, loaded with information and resources for you. We want to be connected. We want to be educated. We want to be informed. We want to be engaged. girlshealthfirst.com.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome to Trending. I'm Sheila Logmina's in for Timory today. Happy to be here talking about things that are very important to your girls, your daughters, your children, your young people going off to college, boy, girls and boys both, young men, young ladies, right? We want them to stay that, behave like young ladies and young gentlemen. And that's what we're going to talk about next. But I was talking with Mary Louise Hengesbaugh in the Archdiocese of Chicago when Cardinal Francis George was the Archbishop of Chicago, Chastity Education Initiative, how powerful that was. And now Girls Health First. I mean, the stunning statistics. Did you know that the average age of a trafficked girl is 13? So what they're working on is the protections we need all across our culture, our families, our society, and then in our families. Think you've done all the right things. You've raised your children in the faith, and you really believe they're going to do great in college, even though there are challenges to the faith there. But so many times, we hear about it countless times at this network, so many parents have asked for prayer intentions for their daughter or son who went off to college and lost the faith. They left home and left the church. And that happens a lot. Or any number of things. They get caught up with other young people because of the influence. We're going to talk about that now. Phone lines are open for you. 888-914-9149. There's a really great program, a presence right there in Texas. And I really want you to know about it because it's also being mirrored, if you will, and something like it is being taken care of in other states, in other cities, in other towns and college campuses across the country. But it's really good to focus on one like this because it is a standout. It's a role model. My guest on that, and that's just a tease. She'll tell you more about it. On that is Carolyn Baudouin, head of the Texas A&M's St. Mary's Connect Catholic Center and leader of their very impressive, exciting, and very full retreat for incoming students. Carolyn, welcome to the program. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Sheila. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you in, Carolyn. So right out of the gate, so St. Mary's Connect Catholic Center does a summer retreat for incoming first-year students, freshmen? And that's coming up. It's very exciting, and I've been really looking into it. So I want you to, first of all, tell listeners across the country, what will new students experience at St. Mary's Connect Retreat?
Absolutely. So the Connect Retreat is for all incoming freshmen and transfer students. And we even have a small number of students this year who never made it to campus last year in person. They were virtual, all classes, all last year. So that's a unique other pool, if you will, of students who will be joining us this year who are incoming sophomores, but this will be the first time setting foot on Texas A&M's campus. So So they'll be coming in, and it's a two-day Connect retreat. It's designed just to welcome incoming students home to St. Mary's and to help them in that really critical moment that is the transition, you know, from home into college into this next phase in their life.
That's what I want to talk with you about, Carolyn, because so many people are in that situation right now. The families, the parents, worried about their young people, and the young people excited to finally break out and go to a college campus. And so, Carolyn, what will we can get more into the nitty gritty of what they'll experience at the retreat, because people can go to St. Mary's Connect, stmarysconnect.com, and you can look at the video right there on the landing page of very large, what is it, a stadium, not a stadium, but a gymnasium or something with many, many, many unbelievable numbers of students. Many of them praying the rosary. There's the monstrance where they're doing adoration. They are having great fellowship time. You can tell they're very happy, a lot of smiles and laughter, and they're enjoying each other's company. And you scroll down and you ask Carolyn, anybody looking at your site, are you an incoming student? We've been waiting and praying for you. That's a big part of it right up front, isn't it? You haven't even met yet the people who are incoming that you already are praying for.
Right. Yes. And we've, you know, honestly, since last October, we've started preparations for Connect 2021 retreat. We have really a three-tiered group of students, current students who have been working behind the scenes all the way since last October for the preparations that go into this retreat. Because, you know, it's a retreat that for the last 5 years has had over 400 incoming students on it. And so for a retreat of that magnitude, it requires, of course, a lot of logistical work. And so we have over 200 current students who are serving on Connect staff, really on three different levels of leadership. So there's a main core group that has been working since October. It's about a 12-person student leadership team, and we've been really guiding the overall process of preparing for Connect 2021 all the way since October.
And you tell people that what you'll be doing is you'll offer mass talks, adoration, and more. And this will give students the opportunity to be spiritually fed, you say, and let them know ahead of time alongside their own small group while at the same time meeting other small groups who live in their geographical area. And by connecting with students with other, and with other Catholics who live close to them, your goal is to foster great friendships steeped in faith. I was talking earlier with a guest about the philosophy of friendship, the power of friendship in our faith, and that goes all the way back to the ancients, right? There's a great, it's a spiritual level thing to have friendship on a deeper existential level, to have friendship with others, and especially others of a community and others of our faith. Talk about the importance of that, especially before these young people get out there on campus among the whole entire culture, campus culture. And Carolyn, they start to hear other thoughts, ideas, and that's a good thing to exchange, but then they're going to hear a lot of challenges to our faith.
Yes, you know, Sheila, you touch on a really important point that honestly it pinpoints the fundamental mission of Connect is exactly that. It's to connect. You know, first and foremost, to connect the incoming students with each other so that they can start building solid, authentic friendships that are rooted in virtue, that are rooted in their faith life. And then secondly, the goal of Connect is to connect the incoming students with the broader community of faith here at St. Mary's Catholic Center. And so there's a crucial moment when the students are moving to campus, you know, for the first time in this really pivotal moment of their lives that is this transition to college. There's a really, really crucial moment to meet them and to capture them as they're all making that transition. You know, all the incoming students are looking to make friends, are looking for groups to get involved in. So we really see that for those first 2 to 3 weeks, really that first week and really even just zeroing in on the first few days of their time moving to campus or moving here to College Station for school as being extremely pivotal. And so we approach Connect with this mentality of how can we get them to connect with each other and start forming the foundations for what can then flourish and grow into authentic friendship right from the very beginning. And so
I can imagine,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say.
So I was about to say that, you know, although our Connect retreat really is just 2 days, we kind of zoom out a little bit and look at even more the importance of that week leading into Connect. So Connect is hosted on a Wednesday and Thursday during what's called Howdy Week here at Texas A&M. And students, incoming freshmen and students can start moving into their dorms on campus that weekend before. It's the weekend that starts and kicks off Howdy Week. And so we have our Connect teams preparing to be welcoming and to help with dorm move-in, to help welcome their students on campus, in their dorms, in their apartments, and just to help them really get situated. Here at St. Mary's, we have, you know, welcome packets for all incoming students. They'll get a free T-shirt. Mm-hmm. They'll find out more about Connect if they haven't done that. And then we have our own St. Mary's Howdy Week events happening, you know, that Monday, Tuesday, and that whole week of Howdy Week. We just want them to get connected. And our Connect staff is, you know, planning very simple but very intentional outreach events located throughout the different regions of campus and of kind of off campus living. So, you know, that might just be, hey, all of the dorms who are on north side of campus, you know, we're hosting just a simple volleyball night, and just come meet other Catholics. And we have our house, our Connect staff, who has been divided up into teams, dependent upon the region of campus and of off campus, who are responsible for that outreach towards those incoming students who live in that area that we know are coming. But they're responsible for planning just very simple schedule of outreach events that are happening in those specific geographic areas on or off campus. That's designed just for that sake of helping the incoming students connect with each other, and then hopefully inviting them to attend the Connect retreat, where we can then go a little bit deeper.
Oh, wow. I mean, who can't, no matter what age, who among all of you and me, I mean, who among us can't recall the awkwardness of that, like, first day and then the second
right,
day
exactly.
And you arrive at campus and you're scared. I mean, talk about that, Carolyn. What do they usually arrive at college? I know I love Texas A&M, but probably any college in America, this is going to happen. So what do they usually, do you think, arrive at college? I don't know, thinking, fearing, hoping for, excited about, worried about?
Yeah,
is there, put some answers to those?
I think it's absolutely a fundamental human desire, you know, to just desire to belong. It's a fundamental desire of what it means to be human, you know, to be in a relationship with others. And so, you know, it's such a pivotal moment when relationships that you've, you know, been in, just that you've been living for so long, you know, at home and in high school, are uprooted in a sense, you know, just because of the transition. You know, everyone's going to be looking for friendships and for that fundamental human desire to belong. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of fear, you know, that can be underneath that human desire. It's that fear of what if I don't fit in? What if I'm not accepted? That, you know, that fear of not being loved, of not being welcomed, of being rejected. And so I really think I think that those underlying fears that, can so easily attack these really good human desires for friendship and for communion that God gave us. Those underlying fears can be what, you know, drives, you know, students in this really pivotal moment in their lives just to reach out in desperation for that human connection and friendship, you know, and that's where they fall into just the lies that our culture tells us. That college is all about, but there, you know, on the flip side, that's what Connect is designed to do. You know, we want to kind of appeal to those fundamental human desires for love, for friendship, for community, for life to the full, but propose just a whole nother way of living life than the mainstream, you know, secular university culture says that this time in their life is all about. And so, you know, on that 2-day retreat, we want to ask those fundamental questions. I mean, just help them get in touch really with these basic human desires for friendship, for a real authentic life. So that at least, you know, there can be that spark or just a simple opening of their heart, you know, so that then when they meet other friends who desire those same deeper things, and just authentic, you know, friendships and authentic life, then, you know, hopefully then they can start journeying together more deeply throughout their time here.
Oh, wow. You are equipping them right out of the gate. You are embracing them with open arms. You're showing them a smiling face that looks them right in the face. A lot of people don't look at each other in the face anymore. They look at themselves on Facebook, but not in the face. to develop a friendship, as you say, with groups maybe in their part of the campus, or, you know, just to get to know others like them, and then to be able to share their Catholic faith, not have to hide it or not have to have it challenged or smacked down. There's so much to this.
Right.
If you have any questions for Carolyn, we welcome them. 888-914-9149. A lot of you are parents worried very much about your young people going off to college. Maybe you're the young person who doesn't want to show that you're worried. You're excited, but you don't want to show underneath lurks some of that. Well, I'm really worried and I've heard a lot of stories and I just hope I can, you know, hold my own with my faith. And I know it's rough out there in the culture. Yeah, you better believe it. But they know that at St. Mary's Connect at Texas A&M. I love Texas A&M. Great school and got a great Catholic center there. And my guest, Carolyn Beaudoin, is here to tell you about St. Mary's Connect and how they are preparing to welcome the whole new crop of, if you will, class of incoming freshmen very soon. More next.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back. You're listening to Trending with Timory's guest host today. I'm Sheila Logmanis, in for Timory while she takes a day off. She'll be back. Meanwhile, I'm really happy to have my guest right now talking about college students going off for the first time, and maybe they're excited, but maybe underneath and they don't want to show it. They're also a little nervous and they feel awkward, especially once they get on campus. And who among us, as I said earlier, cannot relate to that? We can all remember. We can all remember when we did that ourselves. And you want to have something you can belong to, especially if you're on a secular campus and you think, oh my gosh, people, you know, are challenging what I believe and why I believe, and you're so backward. And then they're going to challenge our faith. And you who raised your children in the faith, you're really worried they're going to go off to college and lose it. They're going to leave home and leave the church. Well, the phones are open for you if you want to find out more about what some colleges like Texas A&M are doing at the Catholic Center there. And that's my guest right now. The number is 888-914-9149. My guest is Carolyn Beaudoin, head of Texas A&M St. Mary's Connect Catholic Center, and the leader of their very impressive, exciting, and very full retreat for incoming students, incoming freshmen. And I just love how she was explaining earlier the way they do it, break into small groups, the importance of friendship. That's the philosophy and theology and spirituality, the importance of friendship. And then how they feed off of that as the school year even gets underway with the first days, the first week, when they meet other people on campus who aren't Catholic, who are very secular, who are very cultural, may not be affiliated with any church or religion. And then they're going to find their faith challenged. Another thing I wanted to know about that, Carolyn, is Catholic students, I would think, would or should, as we all should, no matter what our ages, stand out in the culture for our what? Joy? For our self-collectedness, like I'm good within my own skin. I am happy to encounter the world and engage because college campuses should be an engagement of ideas and so on. But they also might stand out for their dress. They're probably not so, I don't know, revealing as this hyper-sexualized culture has so many young girls doing these days, especially the girls. So what's it like there for the incoming students? Do you one-on-one or in group, small groups when you have talks, do you hear about that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's our hope here is just to provide, I mean, even just beyond the scope of the Connect retreat, but here at St. Mary's, just a culture of discipleship. You know, what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ in every area of our lives, so that then, yeah, that flows over, and just manifests itself very naturally, in the way, you know, in the way we dress, in our everyday relationships, in, the student's primary vocation as a student, you know, and so that's how, you know, we view that the Connect Retreat is just a welcome home. We want you here and we want you to be here, and we invite you into something. And that's, I think is, you know, to your point, Sheila, is something really powerful about those pivotal moments of those first few, you know, days and weeks of their move, mm-hmm. is that power of invitation into a different kind of life than, you know, the secular culture says that they should be living. And we want to invite them into that abundant life that Christ has promised us. And we want them to just experience that, because, you know, so many in our culture, you know, don't even know what's possible, you know, for perhaps no fault of their own. But when they see other college students living a certain way, you know, carrying themselves a certain way, there's this power of attraction, you know, that Pope Francis talks about so often whenever he talks about discipleship. You know, the gospel just has this amazing capacity to attract. And when, you know, we hope that, you know, we're helping form our students, you know, to be on campus in their everyday lives, and you know, and as disciples of Jesus, living their lives in a way that intrigues others and helps almost you know, help each other, like help those others get in touch with their deeper desire for a deeper longing for life. It's almost just the gospel has this amazing capacity to awaken buried desires that are here, because it's what it means to be human, you know?
That's a beautiful thing to address with them right off the bat, right out of the gate, right as they arrive, because what it means to be human, they're going to encounter other ideas about that in their classrooms or on campus, among others. And they have very different ideas altogether about words we know well, such as freedom and compassion and choice. Precisely. Means to us. Yes, choice exactly. Means to us. God gave us a free will to choose the good, the true, and the beautiful. And what constitutes those things are not just a matter of opinion. Yeah. It's just set. So they probably hear that and learn that, and they feel really solid, hopefully, that they're coming in and getting imbued by in this mm-hmm. Catholic setting before they get imbued in the Catholic culture. Carolyn, since your program, your 2-day retreat, Catholic Connect, since it involves so much, I can know how you can all cram all this in 2 days, but you do a marvelous job. Since it involves, you know, rosary, your student leaders can lead that, or your team leaders can lead that, and all the communal prayer in group and so forth. But it also involves the mass and then adoration. That means priests. So do you have them sort of as a part of the whole 2 days, and they're sort of interacting in and out throughout those 2 days?
Yes, so our priests will be present during the majority of the retreat, but in specific ways, of course, you know, for the sacraments. We have 4 keynote talks throughout over the course of the 2 days, and the final keynote is actually given by one of our priests this year, and so then on both days we'll have Mass. And then on the second day, kind of as a culmination of the 2-day retreat, we'll have adoration right after the talk that Father Chris will give.
Oh, that's perfect. So they're going to be comfortable right away, right off the bat, with just the smiling faces, the others like them who are new, the team leaders who are helping them through all of this, and then the comfort of going to what they know so well. And that's the Mass, that's the rosary, that's adoration. They've probably come from homes, many of them. If they're going to be with Catholic Connect, they have. Where they did this instead of just, okay, now you're on a secular campus, I hope you keep your faith.
And we also wanted to schedule, you know, the retreat with plenty of time in the in between, just to build relationship with people around them.
Good.
You know, we've tried to design the retreat for this year of just simplifying a little bit. You know, when it comes to those 2-day retreats, it can be tempting to, you know, cram more things and kind of more programs, but at the same time, you know, in order to accomplish our goals of helping them to connect, you know, with each other and with the community here, you know, we wanted to leave plenty of time for just hanging out. And so, you know, if you were to look at our retreat schedule, We have many opportunities for, you know, yard games. We have a volleyball, we have a sand volleyball court, just almost here on our St. Mary's campus here. We have, a lot of the details being organized to bring, you know, cornhole and spike ball. We'll have kind of a St. Mary's wide event for the Connect students one of the evenings, as like an evening fun event where a lot of upperclassmen will come. And, you know, for those who are musically inclined, like we'll have our music ministry just organizing just a student jam session. We'll have, karaoke going on that night. We'll have, trivia and just other events that, you know, really whatever the students want to go participate in and meet people who like the same things, they'll be able to, you know, to choose those things that night. We've really tried to design this retreat in a way that can just leave space for authentic relationships to start to form.
Well, young people, Carolyn, we're out of time, but young people certainly search for authenticity. John Paul II's World Youth Days became so popular for that reason, because they found authenticity. I love the photo on your landing page, stmarysconnect.com. Those very, very genuine smiling faces of your team, and the board they're holding says, "Welcome home." So they didn't just leave home, they've come home. Thank you, Carolyn.